If you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, we're in the first chapter, and we'd like to continue with that. Acts chapter 1. Lord our God, our Father, our Savior, we thank you so much for your love for each one of us. We're so grateful that you have allowed us to gather together in the name of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful plan of salvation. We thank you for your plan of preparation for the church, for your soon appearing. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness to each one of us. We're very grateful for your kindness and for your mercy. And we all need mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your benevolence and your giving to us, sometimes lavishly and always providing for us. We're very grateful. We're grateful that the Holy Spirit is here. We thank you for this part of you, God, that this person is able to carry on where Jesus departs, and through him, you give commandments to the apostles of how to build the church, and through him, you give commandments to us how to live. And there is no other book on earth that speaks of a creator or a religious leader that was so humble that he would come to the people in their form. And we didn't have to build a tower or a ladder to get to you. You graciously came to us, and we're thankful for that. And we ask that your Spirit, O Father, would show us our hearts, and that you would forgive us of our sin that so easily besets us. And we pray for forgiveness for anyone that we have harmed. Lord, just with our mouth, or talking behind their back, or whatever it is that we've held good back when it was in our ability to do good. And we pray, Lord, that this would be a great year of spiritual growth for each one of us. And so, Lord, as we're preparing to bring in the 39th year of this work, we're very, very grateful. And we pray for the dozens of pastors throughout San Diego County this morning and throughout the United States and around the globe that have attended here and have studied here and have been sent. And they have gone, and they're doing 100 times more than we ever did. And we're grateful that we could be a part of this wonderful work. Anoint your word, draw our attention to you, and give us a hunger that we would be righteous in studying your word to show ourselves approved. Workmen unto you that never need to be ashamed, rightly dividing your word. Make us people that are hungry to feast on your word. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things, Lord, and pray for prosperity and blessing upon every person and every family that is represented. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 1. Well, we realize that the book of Acts that we have started is actually written by Luke, who is a physician, a doctor. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to say something about the title. In my New King James Version, it says at the very top, the Acts of the Apostles. Does that say that in your Bible or something differently? Pretty much that. It's really not a good title. The reason being, it's not about all of the apostles, number one. Number two, it doesn't tell us all the acts of all the apostles, or even Peter and Paul. And you get to a place where Peter is pretty much the centerfold for this book of Acts, and then Paul's ministry takes over the rest of it. So these are the two main characters next to the Holy Spirit. Probably the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as Chuck Smith says, would be good, because it isn't anything they did, it's what the Spirit of God did. and they had never seen the move of the Spirit of God. And Israel had heard of the stories of God being Elohim from Genesis 1, in the beginning God, and the word God, Elohim, meaning God in more than one personality. That's a very simplistic interpretation of that word. But basically leading us from the very beginning of the Bible to know that God's going to show up, and not just God, but he showed up in spirit and he showed up through his Son. So these are the acts of the Holy Spirit through some of the apostles. And it leaves off with you taking over. Now, San Diego went through a spiritual awakening, and it was fun. It's totally different than it is now, because an era had ended, and a new era began, and people were coming to the Lord by the hundreds. It was an amazing experience. And out of that, the Lord has started so many new churches and done a work in San Diego, and now it's getting to that place that it's an era fading away, and a new move of the Holy Spirit is going to take place. And hopefully it's the Lord coming back and taking us all away so we can experience it firsthand. So we looked at these words. Verse 1, the former account or treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, so he's talking about the Gospel of Luke, that all of Jesus began both to do and to teach. That's, he's saying, is why I wrote the Gospel according to Luke. Until the day, so it was about everything right up to the moment that Jesus departs, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Very important, two things I'd like you to look at, maybe circle or underline, or at least put into your notes. And that is, he, through the Holy Ghost, while he's in heaven, used the person of the Holy Ghost to communicate to the leaders of the church. That's very, very important. And to the apostles, extremely important, who he chose. I know that denominations and some groups, they choose among the congregation, and the elders lead the church instead of the shepherd leading the sheep. There's different styles of church government. The key to it all, being successful and good for the people that are part of that, is that the Lord has chosen the leaders, that man doesn't choose the leaders. And we see the fallacy of that when they draw straws and limit God to only two men that they picked. And they were going to learn a lesson that God picks. And it's a hard lesson for a leader to learn that he's just there on behalf of God. So this is very important for your life, for those of you that are single, in choosing the right person to marry, major decisions. What can Jesus say to you through the Holy Spirit? And the other part of that he chose them. Let God be in your choices. I mean, there's a lot of things that you don't need God involved in. He's given you the authority. He's given you the ability. He's given you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and you don't need him. But I've learned personally to always involve him in them. If it's buying a car or having a suit made or whatever it is, just, Lord, I present this to you and I seek for your wisdom in it. And if I'm not supposed to be involved, I want it clear. If I am to be involved, I'd like it clear. And he has always, always answered that. It's when I don't invite him in that I get in trouble. So invite him in. Use your own wisdom and knowledge, but invite God in. The work of Peter and the work of Paul that goes on from here is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's extremely important to know. And Christianity today and then had its roots deeply in Judaism. So it came out of Judaism. These men that were so well trained in the Word, and the fishermen that were trained by their mommies and daddies in the Word, they were rooted in Judaism. And that was difficult at first for them to pull away and to just follow by faith. That's hard for people to wait on the Lord. I mean, some of the prophets waited years between you reading a chapter I mean, what would that be like to just be waiting? Well, I'm waiting, Lord. Lord, you got anything to say? Are you there? And he's not answering because he's waiting to allow you to grow, that you will seek my face and you shall find me, he said. So it's not that we throw a prayer out. We really seek him. Lord, my thoughts are consumed with the Super Bowl. My thoughts are consumed with the Miss Universe whatever that thing was. My thoughts are concerned with the tragedy or the politic or the money or the lack thereof. All of us lost money in our paychecks. This week we will all, across the board, give up 2% of our income. And that's just on the tax side of our paychecks. And if you make $40,000 or so a year, you're going to lose $80 to $100 every week. And you're going to have to budget that in, as gas prices are pretty settled at $4. And they will keep going. They stretch us, stop for a while, stretch us, stop for a while, and get us used to it. So you need decisions. Not that man makes, but sometimes you find out that you need decisions from God to protect you from the decisions that man makes. And God will always provide for you, and he will always protect you. The major emphasis that we're going to focus in on is the person of the Holy Spirit. And that you could hear things and underline things and study on your own that will change your life forever. That you can walk with confidence, and not pride or arrogance, but confidence. And you'll be a courageous person. Even if you're like the heartless lion, or he was timid and shy, wasn't he, in The Wizard of Oz? That he was a cowardly. You'll be courageous and speak up. There's nothing the matter with speaking up in a classroom or in an open forum. And don't be fearful. God's on your side. The Bible says, if God be for you, who in the world will be against you? Amen. He's on your side. So this is a study that's going to help give you confidence and courage to really be a woman that loves Jesus, and you're living his lifestyle and not San Diego State's lifestyle. You're walking in his walk, not in the walk of the crowd. And that's an emphasis that these people learn in this book, and it's a great emphasis for us. So Christianity started and grew very quickly. It was amazing how quickly it grew. And it was never a threat to Rome. It was not political. It was never a threat. And it teaches us that you are the members of the church, and I, but we are the church. So I would like to help you understand and grasp that concept. I'm going to church. I'm at church. And somebody will say, well, what's the address of your church? Our church is, and you give the address. And no, you'd have to give everybody's address that attends. You're the church. It's not buildings or parking spaces or Sunday school classrooms. You and I, the people that love Jesus, we are the church. We make it up. It's a spiritual organization. And man can't direct it. The Holy Ghost has to direct it and choose the leaders of every congregation that makes up the church around the world. And that's an important thing to realize. You have authority. You can pull out your sword, and the more verses you know, you can go against those giants in the land that are stopping you and bringing fear to you. You have that authority as a member of the church. And when there is a body that is committed to the lordship of Jesus in a church, including the pastors, then that body is going to be blessed. And when those people realize that a prayer gathering is not something that's boring, but that we get to be around other people and lift our prayers up, where the Bible teaches us that angels take the prayers of the saints in golden vials to the throne room of God. And Revelation tells us that the prayers of the saints are a sweet-smelling fragrance, like a really good perfume. It's just beautiful in God's eyes as the angels walk in, and these are from San Diego, both of these prayers, and we'll give them to you, but all thousands of these prayers. And so when you find where you're comfortable, then you see that you're being fed, and the peace of God that passes all understanding is ruling in your heart. There's power in your life that isn't like sparklers going off or anything. You are just different. And you're not different in a weird way. You're different scripturally, and you're different spiritually. And your life is standing on the solid foundation of the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, chapter and verse. That's exactly what this book tells us of how the body of Christ began after Jesus went to heaven. And through the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke to the leaders of the church. And those leaders were called not to be proud or arrogant or rich or famous or celebrities. They were called to become servants of all, so that by their example, the body of Christ would become servants of all. And it would just be in perfect harmony. Those are the kinds of congregations that the angels of heaven like to come and visit and to be around. Because it says in the Bible that the angels look down in somewhat of an awe of why God uses us. Because they know that we're made out of dirt. And they're made out of eternal elements. And why did he put his spirit in the heart of somebody like you and me? The angels don't understand that. So we don't understand it either, but we'll accept it, right? We're adopted heirs to the throne of God, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering. And we've looked at that, the sufferings of the world, the sufferings of a family, suffering. And he did this by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what he talked about. He wanted people to know that God has a kingdom, and it's on earth and in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer. So he wants you to understand there is a kingdom. There is a legal department in the kingdom of God. There's a financial department in the kingdom of God. There's a executive branch with Gabriel and Michael coming to the defense of Israel. There's just so much in that kingdom that it's only your prayers that brings the fullness of the kingdom into your life. And when you realize that you are a member of this kingdom, boy, the issues of this world become very small. Doesn't mean suffering and pain will stop, but you'll sure embrace it and understand it a lot better when things don't go your way. In fact, if you're not going through any rough times, any suffering or pain, there must be something the matter with you. Because the devil likes to rough us all up. And we know from Job that God said the devil has to come to him to rough up any of his sons or daughters. And the devil can only do what God will give him the extreme authority or right to do in your family or your life. But he cannot take your life. He can't. There's no way. Your life is in the hand of God. Nothing evil in this world can take your life. Teach your children that. Don't be afraid. Be courageous and confident that you truly believe that God is who he says he is. And through the person of the Holy Spirit, who you're going to get to know, you're going to feast on his word, and whatever comes your way, you're going to take a stand. In Sandy Hook, I met many, many people like this who lost a son or a daughter, or somebody that just couldn't take what their job required of them. It's overwhelming. And yet the ones that knew the Lord already were able to not necessarily struggle as much, but were somewhat calmer inside, trusting in God. And sometimes people say, well, you're kind of strange. You're not freaking out here. No, you're trusting in God. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. They're called to his will and purpose. Romans 8:28, we studied that. All things. Not some things in your life. Not a few things in your life. Not just bad things, but all things work together for good. It does not say all things are good, but you can be guaranteed no matter what it is you're going through, ultimately it's going to turn around for good in your favor if you love the Lord. This could be a legal document to defend Paul if he stood before, as he did, the magistrates and the governors, Augustus and Felix, and he went to Rome and stood before Caesar. If they just rolled out this parchment that Luke wrote, it could show Paul's life and it could be used in a court of law to defend him. That what the Sanhedrin was accusing him of was not true. And it's just so cool as we read this. So Jesus comes to us in verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. And that is so hard for us, isn't it? To wait. You're talking about 5 minutes? Wait. You're talking about an hour? Wait. A day? 5 years? Wait. Promise of the Father, which he said, quote, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. That was the promise. He's talking about a promise, the promise of the Father. And when we look at chapter 14 and chapter 15 of the book of John, we see that promise. Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away, that the Holy Ghost or the Comforter would come. And when he comes, he shall lead you and guide you into all truth. To follow him is... it's a good experience for you. To follow him, he will probably be going the opposite direction you're headed, but if you follow him, he'll get you in places that you can't imagine you're in. He'll open doors that no man can open. He'll close doors that no man can close. He'll get you in the right place at the right time for the right situation. So to be led by him and know your place in the kingdom, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. You were, as John, truly baptized with water. You know of the water baptism, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's the words of Jesus. And yet in seminaries around the world, people argue about the term baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus said it. That should settle it. And when you start reading things that, oh no, the gifts aren't for today. That was those gifts and speaking in tongues and miracles was for the first century, for this apostolic group. And that's not true. That's a doctrine called dispensationalism. And there are conservative, good seminaries that send their pastors out, limiting the power of the Holy Ghost because of the doctrine of dispensationalism. Things were dispensed to certain people at a certain time, but they are not any longer. And that's a lie and a strong mistruth from hell itself, because if you don't know there's more power than yourself, you're going to go on and be a good Christian doing good works at good times when you feel like it, and you'll give what you want to give, and you're not open to any calls after 9 o'clock at night or being sent to somebody's bedside at 3 in the morning. But the Holy Spirit just gets you in a flow and it all compensates. And to be married, it is a rare gem to have for a minister, a wife that in 46 years never has complained about the hours or the days or the weeks that I am not there. That really helps a lot. And I found one of those. And the Lord made her into that because we were married before we were Christians. But the Spirit has done such a work that you wouldn't recognize us. The promise of the Father. Therefore, when they had come together, they said, Lord, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He just was talking seconds ago about the kingdom of God. And when he's finished talking, is this when you take over politically? And Israel gets to have a king again, and, you know, the Romans are gone, and all these soldiers are leaving our daughters alone, and, you know, they're not bullying us and arresting us. He just got through, and how easy that is to identify with, isn't it? I mean, we can leave a gathering like this, and all of a sudden, we're boogieing to who knows what, and we're just off into another realm. And the Lord just spoke to us. So that's basically what's happening here. They're listening with one ear, and it's going out the other ear. They're not really plugged in to the person of Jesus. And the only way you can be plugged in to the person of Jesus is to have the person of Jesus plug you in to the Holy Spirit. And when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. But he is saying to these men, you heard what John said. You're baptized with water. But now I'm telling you, not many days from now, you're going to be baptized, the same exact word, immersed into the Holy Spirit. So as you go into water baptism, Mission Bay, and you come back out, water's dripping all over you. But as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and starts flowing out, as Jesus said, that whoever believes in me from his innermost being shall gush rivers of living water. Otherwise, that when we release ourselves and we're all sold out to him, wherever we go, people are getting dosed with a fire hose. If you're really in love with Jesus. But if you're just playing games and just, well, I'm okay, and my mom likes me to go to that church, and this is, you know, but I've got the boyfriend, and I've got these other things going on, and Jesus is a part of my life. If that's how it is, then whatever happened to the Holy Spirit? Now listen to this. The New Testament says, quench not the Holy Spirit. So it's possible that I have quenched the Holy Spirit. It's possible that you this week have quenched the Holy Spirit. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? You control the flow, and it just won't work. If you're in charge of the valve that turns it on and off in your mind, you're going to shut it down sometimes. But if you're sold out all the way to God and his kingdom, and it's not by works of righteousness that we're saved, but it's by his mercy and his grace. So it's not all the work we're doing for him. It's what he's doing through us. That's a hard lesson to learn, that you show up somewhere because he asked you to show up, and then you just stand there and say, why am I standing here? And you just wait, and you'll find out. And somebody will come to you. And you'll be blessed with the words at that time to speak to that person, maybe even as you're speaking. If a marriage controls the flow, and the wife is upset with the husband, and there's no talking going on in the family, then there's a problem. Somebody's controlling that flow of the Holy Spirit. So it's so important for you to understand that if you're really madly in love with him, you're a person that opens up this book. And you can look at a person's Bible and see if they're a young Christian or a new Christian, or if they're in the Word or not by what's underlined in it. It's just like you can tell a Christian by their checkbook. How many checks went to the world and went to the kingdom of God? See, you endorse things that Jesus died for, myself too, by the movies we watch, by the movies we go to, by the things we do. And we know that we have to turn the power off to let us go inside that party or whatever it is. So what you want is a hands-off policy. You don't want a steering wheel on the flow. You don't even want a crescent wrench so that you can tighten it down or shut it down. You want to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Use me for whatever you can use me for. Evan Wickham and his brother Phil Wickham have a mom and dad that I've been friends with for many, many years. And I met their father when he was 17 years old when I was the director of Maranatha Music. And we had many, many rock and roll bands in Maranatha Music that we started producing music for and setting up concert tours for them. And Evan's father played in a group at 17, 18. He was playing in a group called The Way. It was one of the very first music groups. And Gary Arthur, who had a great voice, acoustic guitar, played along with John Wickham. He died. And when I got that news, I was startled because he died. He had the flu. And his kids found him at 1:45 in the morning. He had died. He was fighting the flu. Now, I know Gary's sitting up there writing music with the best of them. And I know that we'll see him again. And I know that he loved Jesus. And I know he had a lot of rough bumps in his life, painful things, embarrassingly painful. And God took him through them. And now I am happy for him because he's face to face with God and knows that God isn't a meanie. And he doesn't beat us over the head with our faults. He is love. And the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. So now, if you are a guilty person, you can't shake this because it's followed you for all these years, would you just let it go? Let the memories go. Let the actions and the deeds go. And the things that you have failed at, let them go. Let them go. And let the love of God be that river of life that just flows out of you. Let it just be, he loves me. I can't explain it really. He's forgiven me. I don't feel guilty, though in the back of my mind, I know that was wrong. But the Bible says I'm to forget the things that are behind me and reach forth. It was a grabbing reach that you're crossing the finish line. And just reach forward to the things that are in Jesus. And it's hard to let go of the past. Because we feel like, without knowing it many times, that we want to do something good that will replace that bad we did. And there's nothing good that we can give to God to replace that bad we did at all. So since we can't do it, it's called grace. God just loves you. There's no way you can get out of that. And God's grace takes that from you, and he never thinks of it again. So you let it go, whoever you are. Let it go. And if there's a root of bitterness, let it go. Because that bitterness is hurting people around you. It stifles that Holy Spirit gushing from your innermost beings. I would like to just step back a little bit. It's not for you to know when they say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? It's not yours to know the times of the seasons which the Father puts in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, the word power is an interesting word. It's their word, dunamis, D-U-N-A, dunamis, M-I-S, right? That's what it is, John? Dunamis, D-U-M-A, that's it. Dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Explosion power. Dynamo. A big wheel turning because water is going over the dam. You shall receive dunamis, explosive power inside of your life. An energy and a power that's stronger than a nuclear power plant. It is so powerful that when you allow it to just flow, it can change people's lives for eternity. Miracles can come out of the sky and help you. It is everything you've ever looked for, hoped for, or wanted when you're at peace with God through the Holy Spirit. If you're looking for love, it's there. If you're looking for truth, it's there. If you're looking for peace, it's there. If you're looking for kindness, it's there. Friendship, it's there. Everything as a human that you and I desire, it's in that power. Except there's one major difference. The power is never used to turn on ourselves. It is for everybody else in the world. Now, if there's 1,000 of us, and you all turn on your power, wow, you now are generating dynamo power that makes you a light, and Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men see your good works and they give glory to God. Let that power start churning this week. Call upon him. Baptize me with that Holy Spirit. Immerse me with that Holy Spirit. Let me be drenched and dripping and overflowing with that Holy Spirit. That San Diego will know that Jesus is alive and he resurrected from the dead, and by his blood our sins have been erased, because the love of God is more powerful than our sins, apparently. that he is able to take care of that through the love of his son, Jesus. And Jesus struggled, just like you do. Lord, if there's any other way that this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Your will be done. And that power is his will being done through us. And that power is for other people. Jesus never did a miracle for himself. He didn't get the money out of the fish's mouth to pay his taxes. He said, you go get your tax money there. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. But render to God what is God's. So as you take communion and you hold that cup in your hand and Evan leads us in worship, let the lights make your cup sparkle if it's what you need. But just realize the blood. As often as you partake of this, Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. He did a lot for you. Everything that you wish would go away in your life, he died for all that. Let him take it away. Quit living for yourself. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus. Look at that. It represents the blood. And we know from Leviticus that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Pinch yourself. You only feel it because your nerves are getting blood to it. Your brain is registering. Poke your friend sitting on your right side there in the eyeball and they will scream. And that's only because the blood is flowing through their body and their flesh has blood in it, so their flesh looks good. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the life in the kingdom is because of his blood. He gave it for you. He holds no list if you're naughty or nice. He doesn't check it once or twice. He looks to his son, seated at the right hand of the throne. And Jesus said, I died for them. They've received forgiveness. They're a member of your kingdom. Father, we thank you so much that you are willing, and above that, you are able to speak through the person of the Holy Spirit to us. And that we can attune our hearts to Channel 1, Mount Zion, with no advertisements at all. It's all about you. And as we grow as a church, as we grow as Christian men and women, may we be pleasing in your sight, and may we please receive this power, this baptism of your Holy Spirit. Lord, many of these people that are here or in an overflow room or watching on the internet or listening on the radio, they've been called to your kingdom and to serve in your kingdom since they were little girls, since they were little boys. And they know that something's inside of them that hasn't been fulfilled. So this prayer, Lord, is speaking to you about these people that are ready to take communion. Would you, with your lavish, generous love, immerse them with your Holy Spirit? Would you hear their plea that they cry? Would you lend an ear to their thought patterns? And would you mysteriously, through the person of the Holy Spirit, open their understanding, their minds, open up their eyes to see, and show them the way? So bless. Bless that all of us could enter into your rest as a church, as an individual. We could see you. We could hear you. We can be led by you through the Holy Spirit. Bless us, Lord, with your presence more than anything. Let us be known as people that walk in your presence without a judgmental tongue or a spiteful word or a dark eye. We give mercy and grace, forgiveness and love and acceptance to every human that comes across our path. And in doing so, we beg your mercy for our sins. And we all want to tell you right now that we love you. And that of all the millions of prayers that are coming into your throne room by angels right now, could you look over at San Diego for just a moment? And we all say, hello, Father. We love you. We look to be with you. We look to represent you here in your kingdom. Give us the power this year. In Jesus' name we ask this, Father. Amen.